This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stephen Ted here on KNSS. Of course, Hurricane Milton still knocking on the door down there in Florida. And Fox News Radio's Evan Brown with us this morning. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning.
You're such an old hand at this that they say this baby's going to be something else, huh?
It certainly will be. This is a very powerful storm. Not the not the largest geographically that we've ever seen. Helene a couple of weeks ago was 800 miles wide. This one's about 280 or so, I think. The wind is incredible and the storm surge is ferocious. So we're going to see about 15 feet of storm surge probably in Tampa Bay and to parts south like Sarasota and Bradenton. Winds right now about 155 miles an hour, and that's Category 4. Category 5 is north of 157. So there's really not much of a difference here. And that type of wind destroys things. The storm surge destroys things. And, of course, the rain will affect more than just the coast. It'll affect the inland areas of central Florida. The ground is already quite saturated, so that water doesn't have too many places to go. So we'll have inland flooding as well. And there'll be secondary evacuations and things like that for people who live in central Florida as the creeks rise and the rivers swell and the groundwater swells and all of a sudden they've got water at their back door and they don't live anywhere near a coastline.
And then Tampa Bay, I've only been there once, but is Tampa Bay one of those places where there are a lot of people that have their pleasure boats there on that bay?
Yes. In fact, there are plenty of people that have, boats and what's a very, the whole Tampa Bay community is very maritime-ish, if that's the right word. There are a lot of people who probably lose their boats.
And my understanding is the wealthy people live in St. Pete. Is that correct?
I think they kind of live all over. there are a lot of people with some expensive homes as well. But there are people who have very modest homes. We have an insurance crisis in this state. So I'm very concerned about what happens afterwards when these homes are destroyed and people don't necessarily have the means to get them repaired or rebuilt.
Did you look at the craft? There's some pretty doggone nice boats. Did they just leave them there anchored or they take them out and take them up the coast to someplace else?
Well, they might. They might do any of that, but some people may not have the opportunity to get them somewhere. So they leave them, and whatever happens, happens.
I understand that FEMA's put several millions of meals someplace and water for people and things like that.
The state has done that. FEMA, I guess, has helped source some of that. But the state has a very robust emergency response plan. Yeah, it's been more than 20 years in development and improved upon. All this goes back to the Jeb Bush days, really, when he was governor. And we are in a very good position to take care of people afterwards. There's plenty of food, plenty of fuel. Plenty of parts to get power substations fixed. There's about 30,000 linemen crews, that are ready to go, that are pre-positioned around the state, thanks to mutual aid compacts with other states. So we're in a very good position. We just don't want to be in this position because it does mean that there is going to be some tough times ahead here.
That's nasty for you folks in Florida, but it does demonstrate that folks from all over the Midwest, I know, are sending firefighters and people like that down there just to come and help out their fellow Americans.
Very, very appreciative of it. We have search and rescue teams, like 27 of them, pre-staged around the state or something like that. For afterwards, because there are people who didn't evacuate, and that window for evacuation is coming to a close. And we know there are people who'll be left behind, and at some point they're going to have a change of heart or fear of God. And they're going to call 911, and the operator is going to take their name, number, and address and tell them we'll come looking for you when it's over.
All right, Evan. Hey, thanks for spending some time with us this morning. We appreciate it. Fox News Radio's Evan Brown in Miami, watching the storm come in. We've talked to Evan on several occasions over the past few years from Fox, and he is a native of Florida. Always has a little bit of insight there if he grew up in that part of the world. One of our news stories this morning refers to open enrollment in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever I knew about that, I had forgotten. I did some quick research on it. And the open enrollment law from Kansas allows students to attend any public school district in the state if there is space available. In other words, if you live in Goddard, you don't have to go to school in Goddard. You can go someplace else.
Okay.
Now, that law went into effect in, this school year. Districts must determine how many students they can handle and open up spots for students from other districts if needed. Districts set their own numbers, and there is no state-mandated formula. So you don't have to stick in your school district. You can go to school just about anywhere. There you go. Freedom of education, Ted. All right, it's 8:18, Stephen 10 in the morning here on KNSS. And it is sports time again with Ted Woodward, sir.
All right, let's start out with baseball. The Major League Baseball playoffs resume for the Kansas City Royals after a travel day yesterday. Now the scene shifts from Yankee Stadium to Kansas City. The first postseason game in Kauffman Stadium in 9 years. The Kansas City Royals hosting the top team in the league, the New York Yankees, in game 3 of this best-of-5 series that is tied at 1 game apiece. That gives the Royals the home field advantage here if they can take advantage of it. The New York Yankees are playing a playoff game in Kansas City for the first time in 44 years. Interesting. And the Royals like who they got on the mound tonight. All-Star Seth Lugo with his 16 wins and his 3.0 earned run average for the All-Star. Interesting comment from the Yankees third baseman Jazz Chisholm talking about the Yankees losing game 2 to the Royals back on Monday night. The audio from YES Network.
Still feels the same that we're going to win it, you know. I don't feel like anybody feels any different, you know. We're going to go out there and do our thing still. We still don't feel like any team is better than us. Like you said, we had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
What?
Sorry. So the Royals
just got lucky.
Holding the Yankees to 2 runs and beating them 4-2 in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, you know, I've seen George Brett all over.
Yeah.
All over the media or the social media. And of course, his history with the Yankees is unreal.
Well, yeah.
You go back to
the Yankees and the Royals in the late 1970s.
Got into a fist fight with Greg Neville.
Each other.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And they had that's a pine tar bat was against the Yankees.
That's correct as well. Man. Yeah. Billy Martin, they all hated each other.
So I guess Brett's been talking to the Royals, kind of getting pumped up about this.
Good.
Get them fired up.
Good.
It's fun. It's a fun time.
Kauffman Stadium will be off the charts tonight. Yeah. Royals Yankees, game 3 of that series. Live coverage of that game on the radio at 5:30 p.m. First pitch at 6:08 tonight. Listen live to the Royals and the Yankees on 97.5 and 1240. KFH. Let's go over to the National League in the playoffs. Game 3 in San Diego last night. The San Diego Padres hosting the top team in the National League, the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Padres erupt for 6 runs in the bottom of the second inning, and look who's right in the thick of it. The designated hitter, the former Wichita wingnut, 37-year-old David Peralta on FS1.
It's ground ball down the line and a fair ball for Peralta. Padres have taken the lead. 1 run is in. Here comes another. Lux will hang on to it. A 2-run double from David Peralta. And the veteran role player has been so much more than that in this division series.
Well, right down the line. And Freddie gave it a great effort, but he hit it too hard. And this inning, which really could be almost over, doesn't have an out.
The former Wichita wingnut David Peralta just killing his former team, the Dodgers, there. Padres beat the Dodgers 6-5 last night. It's the Padres that are now up 2-1 on the Dodgers in that best-of-5 series. Got some really good soccer on the west side of town tonight. If you want to take in Friends University hosting men's and women's games, both top 10 opponents coming in soccer action tonight. We'll start out with the women at 5 p.m., Friends hosting 9th-ranked Oklahoma Wesleyan. Both teams are undefeated in the conference. Then the men's game afterwards at about 7:30. Friends men have won back-to-back games. Oklahoma Wesleyan men come in ranked 4th in the nation. A couple of top 10 teams coming in to play Friends in soccer tonight, women and men. Women's game up first at 5 p.m. And good Royals birthday today. How about veteran shortstop from long ago, Freddie Patek? It's his birthday. He is 80 years old today. Born in Oklahoma City. And he was only 5'5". So he was the smallest player of his era in Major League Baseball. Played for the Pirates, the Royals, and the Angels. 22nd round draft pick by the Pirates. By the way, this is back in the day when the Royals would make these trades and they would get these guys that would just become all-stars.
And that's McRae, for one.
Yep, and the list goes on and on. Yeah. That's what they did with Freddie Patek. Got him from the Pirates, and in his first season with the Royals, he hit for the cycle and led the league in triples and was 6th in the league in MVP value.
Wow.
And he became a three-time All-Star with the Royals in the 1970s, led the league in stolen bases in 1977, led the league in double plays turned out in the field for 4 straight years at shortstop. And he was the starting shortstop for the American League in the 1978 All-Star game. Great player.
So when I was a boy, I played shortstop, so when the Royals came along, he was one of my favorites. He's a terrific player.
No doubt.
Fun to watch.
Yep. And he's in the Kansas City Royals Hall of Fame.
Yep.
The great Freddie Patek, former Royals shortstop. It's his birthday. He is 80 years old today. That's sports with Steve and Ted.
8:22 now. Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. Sean says a lack of polling news means Harris is slipping. That's on the way. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.